Let's pray. Loving God, I pray that you would take our thoughts and our hearts and that you would speak to us afresh today. Amen.
If someone had asked me on the 23rd of August, 26 years ago, who is Jesus, I would have said, I don't know. 26 years ago, on the 23rd of October, a few months later, I knelt down in my bedroom and spoke to the living God. And I said that I wanted to change my life. And in the following weeks, I made the decision to follow Jesus wherever he would lead me. I was then able to answer the question, who is Jesus? And I would have told them, in my own words, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. The living God is the living God who I first encountered when I was kneeling down on my bedroom floor all those years ago. And as I said, my life was transformed. Some of the transformation was pretty immediate. I had a strong desire to read the Bible, to meet other Christians, to renew my baptism vows, and to my surprise, I managed to give up a 14-year smoking habit with ease. And much of the transformation has come over time, not immediately. And to be honest, it's never quite fast enough for me. I don't know if you have the same feelings about yourselves. But I believe and trust that that transformation continues now. There have been plenty of ups and plenty of downs in my life of faith so far. There have been times when prayer has been a real struggle. There have been times when I've been tempted to quit. But whatever has come my way, I've continued to know really deep down in my heart the answer to the question, who is Jesus? Who do I say Jesus is? And I know in the depths of my heart that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. So however awful things have been, I just couldn't quite reject that. Thank God for that. So who do people say that Jesus is? Who do other people say that Jesus is? Other people might say that Jesus was a good person or that he was a wise teacher. Others might say that he didn't exist, that Jesus was made up, a fictitious character. Some people's answers will be influenced by their upbringing, by their friends, or through the testimony of somebody that they know and trust. In the events that we read today in Matthew chapter 16, we learn that Jesus and the disciples have travelled north. They're in a Roman-dominated city, away from Jesus' normal stomping ground, which was around the Lake of Galilee. It's in this setting, away from the familiar, that Jesus firstly asks all of the disciples the question, who do people say the Son of Man is? And from the answers they give, it is clear that the people are unsure. The disciples tell Jesus that the people think that he is perhaps like a returned version of John the Baptist, of Elijah, or of one of the prophets. Jesus asks the disciples another question, this time, who do you say I am? Note in English it's not clear, but this is the plural. He speaks to all the disciples. And it's Peter, we love Peter who answers, you are the Messiah, which means the chosen one, the Son of the living God. It's in this moment that everything changes for Peter, who at this point is still known as Simon. Jesus responds by giving Simon, a new name, the name Peter. Peter's confession of who Jesus is leads to a new identity. It's a surprising name. It's not a name that I think that we would have been likely to give Peter if we had met him. The name Rock, which is what Peter means, seems more suited to someone who is perhaps steady, unchanging, perhaps unflappable. But we know from event after event in the Gospels that Peter was far from rock-like. The thing is that God sees the heart. He sees the potential, and God sees the reality which we cannot see, but which does exist. It is God who gives us our identity. This moment in the Gospel also marks the beginning of preparing Peter and all the disciples for the difficult future that they will be facing. Jesus and the disciples are now heading towards Jerusalem, towards the time when Jesus will die on a cross after public humiliation and will be deserted by the majority of his followers. And even with the certainty that Peter professes who Jesus is in this moment, Peter struggles to hold on to who Jesus is when he's faced with Jesus' arrest. Peter denies that he knows Jesus three times. Peter's story definitely has its ups and downs. And when we read on through Luke's Gospel and into the book of Acts, we really get to see this transformation in Peter. From the denial he makes to the opportunity Jesus gives Peter to reaffirm his love. Jesus gives him three times the opportunity to say that he does love him. And he tells him and calls him that he is to be a leader in the church. This is the type of transformation that Paul was talking about also in Romans 12, when he talks about the renewing of the mind. The moment in which Peter states that Jesus is the Son of the living God, the Messiah, is the moment from which Peter's transformation came. It's through knowing and believing Jesus' identity that we are transformed. It's from our own confession of who we believe Jesus is that brings about this transformation. And all this was revealed to Peter and also to us by the Father. Not our own work, not Peter's own work, but revealed by the Father. This revelation is not something that we can achieve in our own strength. We are given the ability by God to declare that Jesus is Lord. So if Jesus was asking you the question, who do you say I am? What would you say? When we answer by proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that Jesus is Lord in our lives, it is in this truth of who Jesus is, that we have the promise of this hope of transformation, not in our own strength, but through the strength of the Holy Spirit. And like Peter, we will never be abandoned. We will never be alone, even when we fail. So may God bless us today with a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. May the Holy Spirit remind us of who we are, loved, known, and called. And may we know that Jesus goes before us and is beside us now and always. Amen. I'd like to invite Liz up, who, as she walked into church this morning, said that she had something that she wanted to share with me. And as she talked to me, it really echoed some of what I'd written to speak to you today. Would that be okay, Liz, if you come up and talk to us? Just tell us a little bit about what happened yesterday, and then we will affirm our faith with the creed.
Yeah. And well, very briefly, I think you all know that I've been having chemo for cancer.
Just come a bit closer.
And the chemo has just basically, it hasn't done bad things to me apart from my eyes. I felt very puffy and I wasn't able to focus. And I felt the Lord say to me a few weeks ago, cucumber. And I said, did you just say cucumber, Lord? And I thought, that's what I felt him say quite clearly. I'd got some in the fridge, put it on my eyes, instantly better. Next month, I had the next lot. Same thing, he said, did you forget the cucumber? Yes, Lord, I'll obey you, I'll do it again. Did it, instantly better. This time, when I had the last lot, a couple of weeks ago almost now, it was pretty awful. My eyes got really bad last Sunday, and they've been really bad all the week, and it was my birthday yesterday. And we were having a triple birthday party around at my daughter's for me and my two grandchildren. And then they said, what would you like to do? Some of them said, let's go for a walk. So we went out to Dalham, just near Newmarket. It's a beautiful little small village. But there is a very, very long, steep lane up to the church. And my family keep wanting to go to churches wherever we go. And then they said, oh, we'll walk back through the parkland. Can you manage it, Mum? I thought, me, with my oxygen low, because this is what chemo does to you, and I can barely look around, just sort of in front. So I thought, I'm going to try. So off we go up this very steep lane. And I got about halfway up. There was woods each side, and I felt very alone because my kids and grandchildren were all walking fine. I felt very alone, and my eyes were feeling worse and worse. And I just said, you know, Lord, I feel so alone. I feel like I'm on my own. I know you're with me, but I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm bewildered by this whole cancer treatment and what I'm going through, you know. So I took some more steps, and then out of the blue I had a vision of Jesus behind me. Now I have not got eyes in the back of my head, and yet quite clearly I saw Jesus behind me, and I very clearly felt him say to me, I have my hand on your back. Then of course I was nearly in tears. I was very depressed, and I said, Lord, will you please confirm if this is what you've just said? And I thought, well, I've got my phone, but there's very little signal. I managed to get onto the internet, and I didn't know what to put in. I stupidly just put in Bible verse, and this is what came up, with me feeling bewildered and thinking, God's put his hand on my back, really? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then I was nearly in tears because, yeah, he's done it again. Why did I doubt him? And then I heard him say, I will turn your tears to laughter. And by the time I got to the top of that hill, I was laughing and praising God. I felt absolutely wonderful and still do. The eye thing's gone, and he's amazed me once more. Praise him.
Thank you so much, Liz. Thank you, Liz, for sharing. And God really does transform. Thank you.